Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, what are the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips? As you know, we reject, I'm going to say it again, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is all about God, family, and country. It is all about the protection of life, liberty, and property. And it all starts now with a recap of yesterday's award-winning broadcast available at LibertyRoundtable.com, live and on demand, and LovingLiberty.net, our nationally syndicated radio network. That is LovingLiberty.net, by the way. Did you know Loving Liberty has an iPhone and an Android app? You can put it on your phone, listen to live radio, or the shows on demand. You can follow the Twitter feed and more via the Loving Liberty radio phone apps as well. We're talking free and on-demand live radio at your fingertips. All right, folks, yesterday we talked in detail about a bunch of cool stuff. First off, we had Lowell Nelson. He's the campaign headquarters or leader for the state of Utah for Campaign for Liberty. He's also involved in RonPaulInstitute.org. And we talked about Arizona State Order's hand recount of 2.1 million ballots from the 2020 presidential election. That is huge. TheEpicTimes.com with a piece. Where's the rest of the mainstream press, huh? The Epic Times doing a phenomenal job covering a lot of great stories. But think about that. Arizona State Senate orders 2.1 million ballots to be recounted. They said there was no vote fraud. But as they dig in, they find out there's a whole lot more truth to the allegations than they first thought. And, you know, how we just marched on and installed Joe as the, quote, president of the United States without really vetting these allegations in detail, all the courts rejecting it, dismissing cases left and right on lack of standing or whatever technicality they could find, they're not being willing to really dig into the evidence of the case, not really willing to let folks subpoena information and lay out their case and gather the real deal. It's a shame in America, but you know what? At least somebody is starting to look at it now, hopefully in meaningful ways, hopefully in ways that'll, you know what, get to the bottom of it. Look, is there fraud or not? You know what? I believe there is, but I don't have all the evidence. How do you get evidence when you can't subpoena? How do you get evidence when you can't look into the logs? How do you get evidence when you can't hand count and verify? That's the truth. Trust but verify. Ronald Reagan said it best. Most of us now don't trust. That's sad to say, but we still must verify, right? All right. Anyway, good for Arizona. And we pray that you know, bears fruit and that we can get to the bottom of things there. We need to restore integrity and honesty and trust in the election process, ladies and gentlemen. What is America without honest elections? Let me ask you that question. What is America without honest elections? Isn't that a serious question to ask? What is America without honest, accurate elections? Huh? I don't know, man, but it's certainly not the place that I want to live in, is it? Because we've lost one of the fundamental, what do you want to call it? Fundamental realities, fundamental functions, fundamental differences that set America apart as a unique country. That is honesty and integrity in elections. All right, we talked about the Michigan county avoids using Dominion voting systems in their upcoming primary. They will count their ballots by hand. The Blaze reports that piece. This is another example of the point. Why are they going to count up my hand? Because they don't trust the Dominion machines. Because there's lawsuits surrounding the Dominion machines. Because there's all kinds of anecdotal evidence relating to the Dominion machines that bring rise for concern about honest, transparent, accurate elections. See, that's the issue. All right, is Joe Biden holding Americans hostage until Independence Day? Great article written by Ron Paul saying, you know what? This guy's locking everybody down without authority. And he basically is saying, and you know what? You're going to get vaccinated. You're going to all these mandates on the people without evidence, without authority. And we're going to lock you down until you do it. In fact, if you don't do what we say, you probably won't even be liberated or freed from the cocoa, from the COVID virus, without doing all these things. You probably won't be free by Independence Day if you guys don't show your dependence by Independence Day. Isn't that a shocking? You know what? Biden gave an incredible speech that really shows they're interested in lockdown. This isn't really about the cocoa to them. This isn't about keeping people healthy. This is about flat out raw flexing of muscles, demonstration of power, and an effort to control we, the American people. We better call it for what it is. We better stand up, and we better do it soon, or we're going to flat out wish we did. I can tell you that right now. All right, her name, Marlena Pablos Hackney is her name. She's the owner of Marlena's Bistro and Pizzeria in Holland, Michigan. She was arrested for defying state COVID-19 restrictions. Now she's 55 years old. She had fled communism in her home country of Poland back in the day. I guess this was back in 1983 when she fled Poland. She arrived in America in 1988. Long journey, 83 to 88, right? She became a citizen of the United States in 1992. She opened her business in Michigan as she worked achieving the American dream. She says, I'm going to keep fighting for America's freedom and my constitutionally protected rights. Amen to her. Amen. Our prayers are with her success, but she got arrested, folks. What a sad day in America, huh? She flees to freedom, comes here, opens a business, living the American dream, and gets shut down by bureaucrats without authority because of the coronavirus. See, this has got to stop. You say, wait a minute, Sam, those are legitimate. No, no, no. You got whacked out governors that think they can make law. Hello, wrong branch of government, okay? Legislative bodies make law. And they only make law that doesn't conflict with current constitutional law. Okay? They don't have authority to make whatever laws they want. They don't have authority just to let the executive branch make laws. You say, well, by golly, Sam, it's an emergency. Yeah, they have, you know, yeah, you have a little bit of obliteration of the separation of powers in an emergency scenario. Temporarily speaking, I agree. But look, the pandemic, as they lie and call it, came out over a year ago now. And this lady just got arrested a couple of days or a week ago or so. Okay, so a year later, you tell me it's an emergency and the executive order, a law made by the governor, stands? Well, then why don't you just send the legislative bodies home and change the word governor to king and obliterate all separations of powers and let the thug governor be judge, jury, and executioner all in one? Oh, no, Sam, that'd be overreach. You couldn't do that, by golly. Well, that's what you've done. Where is the legislative body? Where is the law on the books? I walked into a store the other day, and they said, you got to put a mask on, sir. And I said, listen, what law are we talking about? Well, the governor said so. Okay, what lawmaking body is he, people? Well, I know he doesn't really make the law. That's the legislature's job. But, you know, this is an emergency. Sam, this is a different scenario because it's a pandemic, they say. My response is, pandemic? What are you talking about? Okay, more people who got coronavirus recovered and are safe than died by a long shot. I don't see how you, by any stretch of the imagination, can call this a pandemic. Well, Sam, there's tons of people sick, tons of people dying. You know, you got to go to the maps, Sam, and look at how many dead people there are, Sam. Oh, yeah? You think so? Well, Kane County, a county in Utah, declared their mask mandate over in their county, but the Utah state said not so fast. See, folks, what you got is this big battle over, quote, supremacy, or over who the heck's in charge now. Governors making laws, states and counties fighting, counties, states, and the federal government at war over who's got more power or who can mandate what to whom when. This has got to stop, folks. This has absolutely got to stop. Now they got the coronavirus vaccine out, but Fauci still says, hey, even if you're vaccinated, you got to wear double masks. Well, why not triple, Tony? Why not triple masks? Why not quadruple masks? Why don't you make a mask so big, so thick, so impenetrable that nobody can even breathe? That ought to do it. If you quit breathing, by golly, you'd quit spreading that coco virus. You know what I'm talking about? See, these people are nuts. They're crazy. When will it end? When will their drunken quest for power stop? When will we, the people, say we're not going to take it anymore? We're going to stand up and we're going to demand the separation of powers that the Constitution, the supreme law of our land, calls for? When are we going to do that? When are we going to demand the dual sovereignty of the federal government with limited jurisdiction, limited responsibilities, and the states who have broad jurisdiction and broad responsibilities? When are we going to separate vertically and horizontally and demand the separation of powers in America? Are we? Or are we just going to go into tyranny? You say, Sam, you're overstating the issue, my friend. Maybe. Where will it head? And when? Not on my watch. Hang tight.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Promoting God, family, and country, you are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Sorry for the rant on the cocoa. I'm just sick of it, ladies and gentlemen. A year later, people are trading their freedom for security, and they're going to wind up with neither. Founding father-esque warning rings true in modern day. I'll tell you that right now. Woo, baby, 2021. You got folks trading their freedom just with glee for the security they believe is around the corner. But I'm telling you, it'll be fading fast when bureaucrats take charge. Listen carefully. In the United States, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know this, but there's 330 million people. About in America. All right, 330 million people. Did you know that only 29,869,769 have been tested positive for the cocoa? All right, so what's that? You know, if it was 330 million, 33 million would be 10%. So we haven't even tested 10% of the nation a year later, okay? Not even 10% have been tested a year later. We know that the tests are all over the map and fake and false and everything else. Why? Because Fauci said if it's over 35 cycles per test, then the results become unreliable. And we also know most of the manufacturers have tests with over 35 cycles, making their results erroneous. Nevertheless, when you get a test, you better ask how many cycles is the test manufacturer using. In my case, they'll be reluctant to tell you because they'll know you're onto something. Nevertheless, I digress. Less than 10% have been tested positive, even with all that shenanigan. Okay? Now, only 542,988 people have died from the COCO. 542,988. All right? Now, what percent is 542,000 from 29 or 30 million, basically? Okay. 30 million, ladies and gentlemen. 10% would be 3 million. 1% would be 300,000, right? 2% would be 600,000, right? So it's not even 2% have died. So listen to me carefully, ladies and gentlemen, when they call this a pandemic. Out of 330 million people, only 30 million people have even tested positive. Many of them erroneously so. And out of that, only 550,000 people have died. Now, that's a large number of deaths, don't get me wrong. But it's only about 1.5%, almost 2%. It's not quite 2% of those who have been tested. But what is 550,000 compared to 330 million people? Right? 10% of 330 million people is like 33 million. 1% is like 3.3 million. That means a third of a percent is about a million. It's like 1/6 of 1%, ladies and gentlemen, have died from the COVID. And here's the problem. With the way they're playing games with the numbers, you don't know who's died of what. People have more, all these, what do they call those, morbidities or whatever they are? All right. How many people have died from the flu and they called it the COCO, et cetera, et cetera. So we got a lot of people who are dying from the COVID, but not a lot of people that are dying from the flu anymore kind of discussion. The problem is, ladies and gentlemen, how do you call that a pandemic? It's not even close to a pandemic when 1/6 of 1% of the people die. And that was because the numbers early, people died a lot more now that they've figured out ways to help people avoid it. You know, different drugs that people claim are effective and not, et cetera, right? Now let's go to my beautiful state of Utah to make the point even more poignant, shall I? 381,788 people have been tested positive. So just say 400,000 people. Well, I don't know if you know, but there's about 3 million people in Utah. So, I mean, we're a little bit over the 10% test rate, but not much. We've only got 2,062 people that have died, though. 2,062, right? So you look at that and you go, wow, that number's tiny, isn't it? Yes, that is the point. Now let's look at California to kind of make a point. They're the ones that locked down so crazy hard, right? They've only got 3,600,000. All right, so 3.6 million. They've only had 57,000 die. So out of 3.6 million, when 57,000 die, don't get me wrong, those 57,000 people, their deaths are tragic, but many of them are elderly. Many of them with all kinds of other risk factors. How many really died of COVID alone? Well, if you follow the CDC's guidelines, they say 94% died of other reasons, most likely only 6%. So now you get 6% of the 57,000 there. You hardly get a pandemic. Now let's just contrast Florida, shall we? Because remember, California closed. Melted down, shut down businesses, just ruined everybody's lives. All right, it's 1.81%, my board op tells me. Cameron in the mix, doing the math for me. 1.8% was the first number that I told you about the country at large. Most states are even less than that. A few outliers make it higher than it really is. But you take California that locked down big time. Now you take Florida. They only have 2,011,000 people that have been tested. How many people are in Florida, man? 20 million people? So what do they got? 10% maybe? And only 32,000 have died. What percent is that? Of 2 million, 10% is what, 200,000? 5% is 100,000? 2.5% is 50,000? They're about 2% at most as well. So your likelihood of getting the coronavirus is 90% that you won't even get it, or you won't even be tested positive because there won't be a need. Out of that, even if you do get tested and you are positive, only 2% of those people die at best. So even if you get the COCO, you got a 98%+ chance of it not being a big problem. Isn't that just insane to think about? When they're locking everyone down, right? It's out of control. But they're locking us all down. Right? New York is especially egregious. They have 1.7 million people that have been tested. Now, how big is New York? I mean, they haven't even tested 5% of their people. But out of New York, with 1.7 million tested, only 49,000 have died. Now, I'm not saying their deaths don't matter. What I'm saying is that percentage is tiny compared to the population. A year later, it's supposed to spread like wildfire. Everybody's going to get it. Right? Think about that for a minute. Pennsylvania is kind of out of control. They've only had 990,000 people tested, but they have 24,000 people dead. Why is it higher in Pennsylvania? Right? New Jersey particularly hit hard. 869,000 tested, 24,000 dead. But right next to New Jersey, with 869,000 that have been tested, 24,000 dead. Arizona, 836,000 tested, but only 16,000 dead. Why so much less? You got to really ask yourself those questions. Now listen to this. Massachusetts only has 615,000 that have been tested positive, with 16,000 dead, almost 17,000 dead. Right? Now South Carolina hit hard, 542,000 tested, 9,000 dead. How come? Now listen to Louisiana. Only 441,000 tested, 10,000 dead. Why? It's crazy. Look at Maryland, 400,000, but 8,000 have died. You got to really ask yourself these questions. No one's doing any of the due diligence on the math that I can see. Okay, Nevada only has 300,000 people tested, 5,000 dead. Connecticut, right next to it, they have the same, almost 300,000 people tested, but they have 7,800 dead. How come it's so high there? And I don't know the facts, but I have a little bit of speculation for you, okay? You ready? These states have much more elderly people in nursing homes, and they have much more people in assisted living facilities and such, and therefore their numbers are higher. And it might be a case where the elderly just can't handle the disease, which we've talked about. It might be a case where breakouts in these quote controlled facilities are more egregious. I don't know. And I'm not here to point the finger and attack anybody. What I am here to do, though, is highlight the reality. They are locking everyone down, shutting everybody's business, controlling everybody, all because, well, if you get the coronavirus, 90% chance that you won't have even got it after a year of it just raging across the country. 90% chance you won't even get it. If you do get it, only a 2% chance that you'll die. But they're locking everybody down and destroying everything. They're out of control, ladies and gentlemen. Tanzania president? I don't know how to say this guy's name, but he's dead at 61 under strange circumstances.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
10 people were killed in a shooting at a grocery store in Boulder, Colorado on Monday, including one police officer. Officer Eric Talley, who was the first on the scene, had been with the Boulder Police Department since 2010, said Police Chief Maris Harold, and described him as heroic. Details of what happened should take about 5 days. A suspect has been arrested. The city of Evanston, Illinois, on Monday night approved plans to distribute $10 million in reparations to black residents for housing and mortgage assistance. The city of 73,000 people, 12 miles north of downtown Chicago, is the first in the country to pass such a measure. Newly leaked photos from migrant detention facilities have shed light on the terrible conditions that children are being kept in. President Biden's administration has tried for weeks to keep the public from seeing images like the one that emerged Monday. More than 15,500 children in U.S. custody are being hidden by the administration, blocking the media and outsiders to see for themselves. This is USA Radio News.
The Bible is under attack. Some countries even ban it. And in the United States, laws are being proposed to limit biblical values in society. Just last year, California's governor even banned private Bible study groups in homes. It's frightening. Now, Greg Kelly Reports investigates the growing movement to ban the Bible in American life. Watch Greg Kelly on Newsmax TV tonight at 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern as he reveals the real dangers to Christians and how they're fighting to protect the Bible. You won't find this on any other networks. Newsmax TV is America's fastest-growing cable news channel on all major systems. Check your cable guide or call them to get Newsmax. Or get it free on Roku, YouTube, Zumo, Pluto, or Amazon Fire. And smart TVs like Samsung, Sony, or LG. Plus, you can download the free Newsmax app on your phone and watch us anytime, anywhere. So find out about the growing danger to your Bible freedom. Watch Newsmax TV's Greg Kelly tonight.
As social media fat cats like Twitter and Facebook clamp down on free speech, a spokesperson for former President Trump has announced within the next 2 to 3 months, he will be launching his own social media platform. The men's basketball NCAA tournament has reached Sweet 16 level. Dan Naraki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The Sweet 16 is now set with the completion of the second round of the NCAA tournament on Monday. The day started off with an upset as Oregon knocked off second-seeded Iowa 95-80. After placing 9 teams in the bracket, the Big Ten Conference has just one left after Michigan downed LSU 86-78. The overall number one seed Gonzaga also moving on after beating Oklahoma 87-81. Alabama is also on to the Sweet 16 after beating Maryland 96-77. And the Pac-12 is now 10-1 in this year's tournament after USC dominated Kansas 85-51. Their only loss coming as Colorado fell to Florida State 71-53. The Sweet 16 round begins Saturday afternoon.
USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, we've been one of the people on record from the very beginning of the coronavirus that they're out of control with this and they're lying. And we told you that we were a little bit cautious at first to give them a chance to see if they were really, if they knew something we didn't know, but we documented it early and often. We knew they were fraudulent in their, exaggeration of this illness. Is it bad? Yes. Is it something to be aware of? Yes. Is it something to be cautious regarding? Absolutely. Is it something to take lightly and flippantly? Of course not. Are the deaths important and sad and tragic? Absolutely. But let's not lose our minds and lose our liberty. Let's not trade our liberty for security, because we will wind up with neither, ladies and gentlemen, is the general point that I'm making. And I'm also pointing out that when they say it's a big old pandemic, it's a lie. When they play games with the numbers like they're doing, games with the tests like they're doing, games with the vaccines like they're doing, it is tragic indeed. So after Lowell Nelson yesterday, we had on Dr. Scott Bradley doing a phenomenal job. His lifelong goal has been to preserve the nation, thus his collegiate series and homeschooling curriculum and books. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com, he's got over 1,000 videos available up there. He's got weekly live webinars, Q&A on the Constitution, and more. We talked about Senator Rand Paul taking on Dr. Fauci in the Senate. Rand Paul says Anthony Fauci, the lead physician, is not being honest with the American public. The Kentucky senator joins Tucker Carlson tonight on the broadcast explaining that, hey, I had a recent clash with White House advisor Fauci. And Rand Paul said, isn't it political theater when you're wearing two masks and you've already been vaccinated? And Fauci said no. And Rand Paul demonstrated, you don't have the science, doctor. And then Joe Biden running around going, we're going to follow the science. See what kind of dishonesty we got going on? And so Chuck Baldwin writes an incredible column, Why I Will Not Take the COVID Vaccination. Now, by the way, Why I Will Not Take the COVID Vaccine, Chuck Baldwin's article is now up at LibertyRoundtable.com. LibertyRoundtable.com, check out that incredible column from Chuck Baldwin. But he says this, I continue to maintain that the COVID narrative is the biggest hoax in world history. I will say it straight out. Bill Gates, Anthony, quote, Heil Hitler, Fauci, the CDC, the WHO, the major medical industry, the major pharmaceutical companies, the major media outlets, and the fear-mongering politicians, both major parties, he highlights, as well as the cowardly statists, not to mention pastors, churches, they're all embracing a phony narrative. They're lying to us all about COVID. Now you say, what? The problem with Chuck Baldwin's statement is everybody's not lying. Many people are just duped. Many people are just confused on this. Many actually believe that maybe there's not the science, but the ends justify. In other words, it's bad enough and we better be careful, Sam. And so I'm not here to attack those people necessarily as being dishonest. But what we need to do is start with honesty in the facts. And then we can deal with how people really believe and feel at the end of that discussion. In other words, you get propagandized for so long and then you genuinely believe something. It doesn't make you evil or bad because you've been duped or because you haven't been dealt with honestly. But it does mean that you're maybe on the wrong side of the issue unintentionally. That's possible for many of these people as well, but certainly not all of them. So you got to ask yourself this question on the COVID. All right, Dr. Fauci, for example, warned. He said, don't fixate on herd immunity. Our focus should be on receiving the vaccine. We need to vaccinate as many people as possible, said Dr. Fauci. The problem with that is the shot that people are getting is not a vaccine. Well, Sam, yeah, it is. They've expanded the definition of vaccine. It's a new kind of vaccine. That's fine, but if you expand the definition, call it a vaccine when it's really not a vaccine, then there's a credibility crisis, all right? Because I've said that we need herd immunity to this thing sooner than later, and you got to protect the most vulnerable among us. Listen carefully. You got to protect the most vulnerable among us. But then you've also got to let the rest of us get it as soon as possible, get over it, and develop herd immunity. And they said, no, we can't do that. Everybody will die. Well, they lied. Okay? They said millions were going to die from the COVID, and a year later, we only have 550,000. Not even close to millions. Not even close to a million in a whole year. And if you take out the honesty discussion, you can say that. But if you're honest, you'll say, how many of those deaths can we really confirm to be COVID-related deaths, COVID-exclusive deaths, right? What's related, what's exclusive? COVID-exclusive means that you die because of COVID. COVID-related means, well, you had a bunch of other problems and you died. So you're a smoker, you got emphysema, or you got, you know, whatever, lung disease, and you're in the hospital and you got pneumonia, and, well, then the COVID gets you and, well, that's the straw that breaks the camel's back and you die. Is it really the COVID that killed you? Hard to say. What about a scenario where you get the COVID, you start to recover, you get pneumonia, you get lungs, and you die because of pneumonia? Is that because of COVID or pneumonia? Or okay, so this is not a simple discussion, and I'm not trying to make it simple, but what I'm trying to get at is to blame it all on the COVID isn't honest or true. What about all the flu deaths that are not happening? What about all the people that used to go to the hospital and die routinely with all kinds of diseases that aren't going to the hospital anymore because they weren't let in? What about all those people, right? We need to be honest about the death rate and the death facts. We need to be honest. If it's a new experimental method or treatment, can you really just expand the definition of vaccine and call it a vaccine? I don't think so. It's RNA modifying or manipulating. They don't have the virus isolated. Most vaccines work like this. They take a little part of the illness, they attenuate it, or they make it less, they make it diluted. I'm trying to think of simple words to explain. They dilute it, and then sometimes it's live, although they've had problems with that in the past with polio and everything else, if you want to know the truth. Or they attenuate it, and then it's a dead version of, but they've got the actual pattern of the virus, and then that's what they use to go ahead and trick your body into thinking that, hey, I better build immunities to this. So they give you a little bit of the sickness in an effort to have your body say, whoa, I better fight this off. And strategically, then they build up the immune system for it. Well, this RNA new vaccine they're talking about doesn't even do those things at all. It's not a vaccine in the traditional sense. So if you want to explain to the American people there's an expanded definition of vaccines and therefore this fits and explain a little bit, fine. But if you don't, you're not really being honest about the vaccine. You're not being honest about the death rate. You're not being honest about the real treatments either. Many doctors are coming out and saying ivermectin is one of the best treatments. Dr. Corey and others testified before the Senate about this. And all that's been done to them is they've been completely shut down and ignored and ridiculed as quacks. They had incredible credentials before they took on the coronavirus. What, lie? Fake news? What do you want to call it, huh? All right, they were incredible doctors. They weren't political, they were physicians. And now when Mr. Corey gets up, Dr. Corey, and speaks about this, they say, oh, you're just into partisan politics. He's like, no, I'm not. I have nothing to do with politics. I'm not doing politics. Not at all. Not at all. Right? Well, now what? See? The honesty is the issue here, folks. So Fauci, for example, now admits that previous projections that he made about reaching approximately 70 to 85% herd immunity. He said that's what it's going to take. And, Rand Paul and other physicians who say that it won't take that level of herd immunity to protect us all or whatever. He said, no, it takes 70 to 85%. These guys are underestimating the herd of immunity. Now, Dr. Fauci admits that his views were speculation. So let me get this right. Rand Paul speculates that it's way less. Other physicians say that it's way less. Fauci says, no, it's 70 to 85%. And now we find out Fauci speculated too. So let me get this right. You got two doctors both speculating and they have different speculations, but we're supposed to trust Fauci's above everybody else's? Why? Because he's got a track record of honesty and integrity and success? Lies. See, that's the problem that I'm getting at with this whole thing. Lies. Flat out satanic lies from the pit of hell lies. Why? Because they're stealing your freedom with those lies. That's why. Why? Because they're robbing the elderly of seeing their families for a year already. We've already lost a year. Right? Now Fauci can't explain the science behind refraining from telling Americans who got the coronavirus vaccine about safely traveling. You can't explain the science of why they have the stance they have. This is the guy that speculated about herd immunity. This is the guy that told us we didn't need masks and now we do. And now he wears two masks after he's been vaccinated, guy. This guy? Wow.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips when I'm on your radio. I'll tell you that right now. So the bottom line is they're pushing for these vaccines, and they're ignoring real solutions brought forth by Dr. Corey and others about the ivermectin solution. They're just simply jettisoning that. You got to wonder why. Vaccines, incredibly expensive. They're rolling it out so fast without solutions. They say that it's safe and effective. They have no real evidence that that's true. They don't have any long-term studies. They don't know what the long-term effects will be. I bring this up. They say, you're not a medical doctor. You're not a scientist. Who the heck are you? I say, I'm an honest guy. Ooh, imagine that. I'm an honest guy telling you the truth. You don't know what the long-term results are, people. And if you think you do, you're lying to yourself. This is a new experimental, not really traditionally a vaccine, but now they broaden the term vaccine, okay? But you don't know the repercussions. You don't know the long-term effects. You don't know what it will do to the body over time. You don't know what will happen as the virus continues to, what do they call that, morph? That's what I call it. But they say mutate, right? You don't know what will happen when the virus mutates, what it'll do, how it'll interact with the experimental administration of a toxic serum injected into your veins. You don't know. And to say you do is a lie. All right, but now they're even working on a stress prevention vaccine. The American Institute of Stress notes that 55% of the American people are stressed out throughout the day. They say that makes Americans in the most stressed out nation in the world. Yeah, we're the most stressed out population in the world. They say work-related stress even more through the roof. It's at an all-time high, with 83% of Americans experiencing suffering from job-related stress. See, it's through the roof. And now they're going to work on a stress vaccine. So let me get this right. Just stress me out for over a year telling me that I'm going to die every day from the cocoa. Just hype that for literally a year straight. And then I got a little bit of stress and they're going, hey, better give you a stress vaccine, by golly. Okay, these people are off the charts crazy, folks. I'm telling you right now. Believe it or not, now scientists are saying that social distancing might need to last through 2022. That's USA Today with that stuff, folks. Now, I don't know how long social distancing will need to last, because I don't really know what social distancing is. You say, oh, yeah, Sam, it means that you're supposed to be 6 feet apart there, buddy, for everybody's safety. That way you won't get the cocoa. My response is social distancing isn't very social, first of all. It's antisocial. Secondly, 6 feet, where did that rule come from? Again, they come forward with these claims without evidence. Where did the six-foot rule come from? Clearly tell me the studies that back the six-foot rule. See, somebody needs to ask Dr. Fauci this question. Where did the six-foot rule come from? And if the six-foot rule was so valuable, after they've told us that, hammered that into us for over a year now, now we have them going, well, maybe we should research the three-foot rule. You know, maybe 3 foot would be good enough. And I'm like, what? Right? think about that. Is that honest? Right? How did we get the 6-foot rule? Do you know, folks? No, you don't, because they haven't told you anything about that. They've just told you 6 feet's the God-given truth. Now they say 6-foot rule, 6-foot distancing rule is outdated. Oxford and MIT created. Business Insider. Think about that. What does that mean? Where does the 6-foot rule come from? These are easy things to prove their dishonesty. Now, they say the distance 3 to 6 feet from each other is called the breathing zone. Yeah. If you're 3 to 6 feet from me, you may well inhale what I exhale. But if we wear masks, how much is that true? NBC News is now speaking out a little bit on this. This is interesting, isn't it, folks? Think about this for a minute, okay? Headline says CDC relaxes distance requirements in schools from 6 to 3 feet. That's NBC News. This isn't me. So why did we live with 6 feet for a year if now they can just relax it to 3 feet? Let me ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. Did the COVID virus, after 365 days, just go, your breathing zone is shrunk by 50%? Right? Experts pulled 6-foot distancing rule out of thin air, folks. Yeah. Think about that. How did 6 feet become the standard? It all started with the plague, folks, the origins of 6 feet. Right? How the power, the pandemic has made fools of us all, folks. Where did we get this 6-foot separation lie? And then if it was legitimate a year ago, the 6 feet rule, then is that science outdated? Did science just change? See, I thought the scientific method was designed to turn, what do they call those things? Hypotheses or hypothesis. And then you kind of test that a little bit. And then you go, hey, man, there seems to be some credibility here. Let's move it to theory status. And then from, you know, a speculation, the hypothesis to theory to fact was, well, we're going to use the scientific method and document it. If you can repeat it consistently over and over, then it's fact. And how does that science relate to the 6-foot rule that's now been downgraded after a year of lockdown to the 3-foot rule? And how do we know that next year, 2022, they won't say, oh, it's only a 2-foot rule? Because 3 foot is a little bit overkill. All right. What is America without transparent, honest, accurate elections was my starting question of the hour. I'm going to end with this question. What is America without transparent, honest, accurate science? Huh? What is America without open, accurate, honest money? Right? These are fair questions. What is America without transparent, honest, accurate science? Right? You got to really ask yourself that question. Are people willing to ask the questions that I'm asking? Are people really willing to accept the answer? And the only answer you can come to if you're honest with yourself is they have been lying to us. right? Okay, if it's outdated, okay, they say it's overly rigid, outdated science. What's outdated science? Is it really science? Is 6 feet apart enough social distancing? Maybe we're going the wrong way, baby. Maybe we need to go to 12 feet. Okay, they now say, believe it or not, listen, an MIT University of Oxford study said the six-foot rule may not be effective enough. Researchers say that the co-co can go 26 feet in the air through coughing, sneezing. So don't you think that we ought to turn the six-foot rule, instead of a three-foot rule, into the 26-foot rule? Yeah, they say social distancing is a lot more complicated than staying 6 feet away from people. Yeah. Where do you go with this kind of stuff? So the bottom line is they're not being honest with you. Now, don't get me wrong. They're researching and speculating to the best of their abilities. But it isn't good enough when you use this against us as science and act like you have all the facts, and anything I bring up that is contradictory to your so-called facts is fake news and dishonest, and you're going to shut me down over it. That's where I'm starting to really have a problem and push back. So this 6 foot, if I challenge that, which I did months and months and months and months and months ago, then they say, oh, you can't say that. That's fake news, Sam. And then a year later, they come back and go, well, the six-foot rule, we can reduce it to a three-foot rule, says the CDC. But then Oxford and these other study folks say, hey, man, you got to really distance 26 feet apart to be safe. Folks, their science is all over the map. Which ones are being dishonest and which ones are doing their best to get to the bottom of the truth? I don't know, but I know this. It isn't science if they're all over the map with speculation. Like Fauci speculated, the herd immunity requirements, 70 to 85% was pure speculation. But he argued with others about it, that he was right and they were wrong. And now he admits he was into speculation. How science-based is that? I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, to round out this hour. What is America without transparent, honest, accurate elections? And what is America without transparent, honest, accurate science? Right? This is serious business, folks, for real. CDC now relaxes distance requirements from 6 feet to 3 feet. And you know who gave me that? NBC News. Now, if I say it, Facebook shuts me down saying that I'm involved in fake news. If NBCNews.com says it, then what is it? Now, gospel there? We're just sticking with the science, Sam, that's all. Okay, I got a problem with all this. They're lying and they're dishonest. Okay? And that's my problem with them. They've lost their credibility, folks. They really have lost their credibility. And the problem is that they're shutting me down. I'm the lowliest of them. I'm probably not that interesting of a talk show host. Okay? But you look at me, and then you look all the way up to the President of the United States of America, former President Donald J. Trump, and they've locked everyone down in between the two of us, all the way from the lowest to the highest of us in our, quote, society, right? And they've locked us all down because they are the Ministry of Truth, because they have the facts and the science, and they don't like us catching them lying. Isn't that where we really are, ladies and gentlemen? Our prayers are that we stand and we stand strong and we do it soon. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Incredible guest. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. I declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.